Have a Bible, if you would please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to look at a text there in just a moment. Once again, we appreciate you being here today. It's been a good day. We've been edified by our worship to God and our consideration of God's Word. And we hope for a few moments as we end our time together today that we can prepare our thoughts and our hearts to go out into the world and to be the kind of people that God would have us to be, to serve as an example to the world around us and to try to lead those that we encounter towards a relationship with God in Christ. Some months back, there was an event that was publicized throughout the world, and President Obama attended this event. And as is common at many different events where perhaps people are speaking before a large audience, to the side of the speaker, you could see that there was a man that appeared to be offering sign language to those who were there who could not perhaps hear. And as you were looking at that, everything looked pretty normal. But when the commentators began to talk about it, it was observed that the sign language that the man was using was not a form of sign language that anyone was familiar with. In essence, he was simply kind of making up signs as he went along. And as more was said about it in the days and weeks that followed, it became evident that this man really didn't know sign language at all, and yet somehow had got himself in a position in which he was on a public forum, on a public stage, acting as if he knew sign language. Obviously, if you or I were going to try to learn how to do sign language for those that needed it, he'd not be the example to look to. Wouldn't be the example that we would want to follow. You know, if you were going to build something and you were going to follow a pattern so that all of the pieces went together, it would be very important that whatever pattern that you looked to was a proper pattern, or it might be that you constructed something in a various way and it would not fit. It wouldn't match with other things. It makes a great deal of difference that we follow examples that are worth following, or else the example that we look to will not produce what we want in our life. The Bible has a lot to say about examples. In fact, we are taught to imitate those who offer themselves as good examples. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Obviously, if Paul is imitating the example of Christ, that's something that is a worthy example, and so we should follow that. In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 17, the Apostle Paul will say, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." So Paul not only says, "I imitate Christ," but he says, "You imitate others that follow my pattern of life, my example." If you look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, in a very general way, those that are in a local church, that lead a local church, that have, as a result of meeting qualifications perhaps, or if we're not talking about those that could meet that, are in a position in which they've shown themselves to be faithful Christians. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." So the Bible teaches that examples are important. And in fact, the Bible will even teach that we are to be examples to others. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. And we're going to come back to this a little bit later in our lesson. But here Paul tells Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." So being an example is important. Following examples is important. But I want to ask the question this morning, who is your example? Now we might think of that as we've already looked at some texts. Obviously, as we began in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Jesus Christ is Paul's example,
So we should follow Jesus as an example, and I ask you, is Jesus Christ your example in life? Do you look to Him and the way He lived, the way that He dealt with life situations, the way that He treated others, the way that He demonstrated worship and reverence for God the Father, though He was God in the flesh? Is He your example? If not, He should be. He should be an example in many respects. He should be an example of how we ought to love one another. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 with me and notice verses 1 and 2, which read, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." And I want you to notice in this next verse how it shifts to the example of God in the flesh. "And walk in love, as Christ has also loved us, and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." We should imitate the example of Jesus in the way that He loved. He gave Himself for those He loved. We should follow His example when it comes to how we look out for one another. In Philippians chapter 2, notice as the apostle will talk at length about the example of Jesus' willingness to give Himself for mankind. I pick up, if we can, in verse 4, and note it says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to talk about some other things. But in the context, as it talks about how Jesus lived, what He gave, how He sacrificed, there it is in that context that we are taught to look out not only for our own interests, but the interests of others. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 with me, and let's notice perhaps one of the most powerful examples that we are to follow in the life of Jesus, and that is the example that He offers of how we patiently endure those things that we ought not have to, those things that we don't deserve, those things that are unjust in the treatment that we receive. But let's read beginning in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, and we'll go down to verse 23. "For what credit is it when you are beaten? What credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us," listen, "leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Verse 22, "who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." What an example that is to us. Is that the example that you and I follow? When it comes to how we love each other, when it comes to how we look out for one another, when it comes to how we take those things that we don't deserve, but we are treated in a way that's not right, do we follow the example of Jesus? We might ask another question as we think about who is your example in life. Is your example the Apostle Paul? Now recognize that we can't put the example of Jesus and the example of the Apostle Paul on the same level. We saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that Paul imitates Christ. But we are to imitate those that imitate Christ. And so as he says, "imitate me as I imitate Christ," look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 6. And I want us to notice the way in which Paul sets himself and the other apostles, sets himself and another teacher such as Apollos forth as an example that is to be followed. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. "Now, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes." Listen to this. "That you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." Paul is not saying, "Look at what a great guy I am and follow me." But he's saying, to the extent that I follow Christ, look to my example. Look to what I am doing. I want us to notice a few specific ways that we can see this. He urged the Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. He urged the Corinthians to take great care regarding how it is that they might affect and influence others. Is our life to be such that we just don't care if we lay a stumbling block before someone else and we make it harder for them to do what they ought to do? Or do we live in such a way that we give no offense? Paul says, verse 32, "Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God." Now, he's not saying here, you don't ever make someone not like you. He's not saying here, you do whatever you have to make somebody happy, even if it means compromised truth. That's not what he's talking about. He is talking about never living his life in such a way in which he leads someone away from faith. He leads someone to do that which is wrong or that which is sinful. And I think we see that in the next part there, where he shows that he is not seeking simply his own benefit. Notice verse 33, "Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." You know, that's a selfless disposition. That is an attitude that, you know, is difficult. You know, I was talking with my family. We had a get-together for my mother's birthday. She celebrated her 80th birthday, and two of my brothers are preachers. My other brother's a doctor. And when my oldest brothers were young, my father was a preacher. And so they were both preacher's kids. And I was for a little bit, but not for very long. And they were talking a little bit about the expectations that are placed on preacher's kids. And I know sometimes that can be kind of a difficult sort of thing. But, you know, as you think about that, it's kind of interesting to me, because why is it that a preacher's family or a preacher's kid has any greater kind of pressure put upon them? Because there is the recognition that they are in a position perhaps of influence. But really, all Christians should realize that at any given moment, people are looking to you. If you name the name of Christ and you present yourself to be a Christian, then someone is looking to see whether or not you're consistent in your life. If a preacher's kid is inconsistent, then it might well compromise his father's ability to be able to influence. But really, we must recognize that if we are inconsistent as Christians, it will compromise our ability to influence. Look at another angle. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul would talk to the brethren in Philippi about his own example, but specifically with respect to the idea of maturity. Did Paul view his life as something in which he'd already attained, he had already come to the point that everything was just as it ought to be, and he didn't need to continue to grow and mature? Absolutely not. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now notice verse 15. "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." Notice he says here that he doesn't view it as if it's already taken care of, that he's already exactly what he ought to be, but he views even his own life as something in which he is progressing. He is working and pressing forward. And then he says there, those who are mature will have this attitude, and we should strive to have that attitude. One last area I'd ask you as we think about who is your example. Is your example other faithful Christians? Go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. And I want us to notice this admonition that Paul gives here. "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." You know, one of the reasons we talk so often about the importance of faithfulness in our attendance, or we talk about our commitment to a local church, is because we always are in a very real and precarious situation in which faith is always only one generation away from falling. Now, I recognize that the Lord's church is something which is an eternal kingdom that will never fall. But when we're talking about local congregations, we're talking about faith within a given area, within a given country, within a given region. That is not something that we can just assume is going to continue unendingly. You know, Pew Research has done some interesting statistics in which they've compared numbers from the beginning of the 20th century to what we find now at the present. And while at the beginning of the 20th century, it was very interesting that among those that identified themselves as those that believed in Jesus Christ, most of those were kind of focused in the area of Europe. That began to shift. And there was a time in which in much of North America, there was a large number of those that identified themselves as believing in Jesus in North America. But do you know that at the present, there are more people in Africa, there are more people in South and Central America that identify themselves as believing in Jesus than there are now in North America? Do you think a time may come in which it's not a matter of offering support to someone preaching in Africa, but will the time come in which Christians in Africa have to send folks to the United States to try to teach and to preach those in the United States of America? My point is simply that we are always one generation away from faithlessness. And the only thing that can prevent that is when we as Christians set forth an example to the next generation. We as Christians set forth an example to others that they can look to and see that's what it means to be a Christian. And I'm going to follow that example. I want to be a child of God as is taught in the Word of God and as I see in the life of this or that faithful Christian. You know, the Hebrew writer had much to say about this. The Hebrew writer taught that we are to imitate the faith and patience of those who will inherit the promises that are given in the gospel. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. And I'd like us to begin in verse 11. It says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." The text that we observed earlier in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, "Those who rule over you, whose faith follow." We are to look to the example of faithful Christians and to follow those examples. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't question and we don't look to the Word of God. You know, if an example of someone that sets themselves forth as a Christian is a bad example, just like I mentioned at the beginning, that fellow that didn't know how to do sign language, you don't look to that one as an example of how to learn something. But when in fact you see those that follow the pattern and the example of God's Word, those are examples worthy of following. I want to ask you the question this morning, whose example are you? We noticed in several of these, and we've noticed the principle running throughout, that we are not only to follow examples of those who are faithful, but we are to recognize that our life is an example to others. Are you an example to other Christians? Christians should consider their example in order to recognize the influence that we have upon one another. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. The church in Thessalonica offers itself as a wonderful example in a very powerful area. Notice if it would begin in verse 6, it says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit." In other words, they followed Paul, but they followed faith in God, even at a time in which it was very hard. So that, notice verse 7, "so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe." In other words, they looked and said, you know what, those brethren in Thessalonica did this, we can do that as well. We can follow their example. Look over in Titus chapter 2 and verse 7.
Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. And let's pick up in verse 6. It says, "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility." Now, think about that as we look at this. Are you in your life consciously and deliberately thinking about what kind of example do I show to others? You know, I think a lot of us live our lives thinking as if we're just kind of anonymous. I understand it's easy to feel that way sometimes. You know, if you are not in a public position, if you're not in a condition in which people are asking you questions or coming to you, it may be very easy to think, you know, nobody sees what I do. Nobody is looking to me as an example. I will guarantee you that every soul in this building this morning is an example to someone. Whether it's a small child, that there's another child that looks to them and thinks, you know, I want to be like him or I want to be like her. Whether you're talking about someone that's elderly and maybe they feel as if, you know, I'm not as active anymore. Nobody cares about my life and what I'm doing. There are people that are looking to you to see whether or not, even in great difficulty, you'll be faithful. Don't ever allow yourself to think, you know, no one's looking to my example. Be conscious of the influence and example you have on other Christians. Especially, I would urge us to be conscious of the example we set for young children. Look over in Matthew chapter 18 with me for a moment. Matthew chapter 18. In a text where Jesus has much to say about the young. In a text in which he'll talk about the way in which they are like those of the kingdom of heaven. In such a context, Jesus will say in verse 6, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now you may think, well, how in the world does someone cause a young person to sin? You know what? There are a lot of ways. Not simply the one that would directly tempt someone. You know, you'll hear about the adult that'll buy liquor for the underage person, and that's so reprehensible. You'll hear about situations in which people will arrange immoral kinds of opportunities for the young, and that's reprehensible. But you know what? You don't have to go to those extremes to influence a young person to do right or to do wrong. It can be that when people look to your example, and your consistency or your lack of consistency, when people look to your life and see what you value as important, you know, it's very interesting because look at families in which you have the parents that treat a commitment to a local congregation, parents that treat their relationship with God and Christ, the importance of Bible study, the importance of prayer. If they treat those things as important, most likely their children are going to treat those things as important. But by the same token, when you have those that, well, you know, I go to services every now and then, but it's really just something I do on Sundays. It's really just something I do when the brethren are looking, but it's not really something that's a regular part of my life. You know what you are doing is you are setting an example to the young people around you, maybe to your own children, that they will follow. We need to be conscious of the example that we offer to young children. But finally, we also need to be aware and consider the example that we offer to the world around us. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, we talk about personal work and we talk about ways in which we can try to help others obey the gospel. And we're always looking for, what's an opportunity? How can I have a situation to sit down and study with someone and try to bring them to the truth? But you know, we need to recognize that even before we get to that point where we're able to sit down and talk with someone about the plan of salvation, we offer an example to those around us that don't believe in God. We offer an example of whether or not this is real and it's meaningful to us, or it's just talk. It's just a show that we put on. 1 Peter chapter 2, begin with me in verse 11
And notice the text says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles." Now, the term Gentiles here is a word that literally just means nations. So often when you look at that term Gentile, there are times that it can specifically address Jew-Gentile distinctions. But sometimes, and I think here it is likely the case, it is simply talking about the world. Those that are not concerned with their covenant to God, but the world. So our conduct needs to be honorable among the nations. Listen, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. I heard a story, and I want to confirm it. From what I understand, it is actually a record, an account about the father of Warren Schultz that we support. Brother Schultz was originally an officer in the former Rhodesia before it fell. And my brother was telling me that he's heard a story about Brother Schultz's father, and again, I want to verify this, but it is a true story about someone that was in that situation, where long after he was no longer serving as an officer, he was preaching. And while he was preaching, there was a man that came in and stood at the back of the auditorium and just stared at him. And of course, that would make you a little bit uncomfortable, but he went through his lesson, and finally after the service, he talked to the man, and the man said, "I know you." And he said, "Well, is that right? What's your name?" And he didn't recognize his name. But as he talked, this man had been upon the opposite side among those, I think, that were fighting against the government forces at the time. And this man told Brother Schultz, "For 30 minutes, I had you in my sights with a rifle on him." And he said, "I could have killed you, but we knew that you didn't do what some of the other soldiers did. You didn't let your men go out and rape and plunder. You didn't let them mistreat those. We knew you were a Christian." And from what I understand, what is remarkable about that is this man eventually obeyed the gospel. And this man eventually would help, if this was Brother Schultz that the story is about, helped him preach the gospel. We can be an example in ways that we are not always even aware of. And I want us to think about, as we consider that we are an example, we are to follow good examples. What kind of example am I? What kind of example are you? Are we an example to others of a faithful Christian? Are we an example that contributes to the growth of the Lord's church? Are we an example that is worthy of imitation? Go back to the text that we read near the beginning in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. And I want us to listen to what Paul told Timothy. And let's think about that and leave this place this morning committing ourselves that we will be an example in each of the ways described in this text. "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." If you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would urge you to put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. We are to imitate the example of Christ, but that must first begin by coming into a relationship with Christ, by putting our faith in Jesus and confessing that faith before men, repenting and turning from sin that separates us from God, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If as a child of God, maybe you've been following unworthy examples. You've been following the examples of the world. You've been following the examples of those in sin, those that don't believe in God. Let's change that this very hour. And if we can help you, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.